Belinda Audio and Canongate Books present this unabridged recording of
Bobby March Will Live Forever by Alan Parks, read for you by Andrew McIntosh. For Pamela Hunter and for Dale Barclay. Control thy passions, lest they take vengeance on thee. Epictetus. So you want to be a rock and roll star? The Buds. It's Billy the desk sergeant that takes the call. A woman on the phone, breathless, scared, half crying. She says, I'd like to report a missing child. And suddenly, everything changes. When news of a call like that comes in, everyone sits up at their desks, stops filling in their pool's coupon, puts down their half-eaten rolls. The ones with kids open their wallets under their desks. Look at the pictures of Colin or Anne or wee Jane and thank God it's not theirs that have gone. The young ones look serious. Try not to imagine pulling some weeping toddler from a cellar or from under a bed, being congratulated by the boss, thanked by a tearful mother. Those that are religious cross themselves or say a silent prayer to keep the kids safe. And those that have lived through a case like this before say hello to the familiar dread and fear in their stomach, the knowledge that there is no end of bad things that men can do to children, that the missing child might be better off dead already. And like a pebble dropped in the water, the ripples start to spread throughout the city. No matter the lockdown, news of a missing child always gets out. Cops come home, tell their wives and girlfriends not to tell anyone, but they do. A shilling drops in a phone box across the road from the station. A reporter at the Daily Record answers, and a beat cop earns a tenner for his trouble. Isn't long until the boys selling the papers outside Central Station are shouting, Final edition! Missing girl! And before you know it, the missing girl is all the city is talking about. It's all the cops talk about when they assemble in church halls to get the instructions for the search. All the reporters talk about how they can get to the parents, taking bets on when she'll be found. It's all the kids in the back courts talk about, whispered rumours and stories about being dragged into a car. And as the night falls and the chatter dies down, there's still one person who doesn't know what Glasgow is talking about. Alice Kelly. She's the one person who doesn't know that all of Glasgow is talking about her. All she knows is that she's got a cloth bag over her head, that her hands are tied, and she's wet her pants. And there's one other thing Alice knows. It doesn't matter how hard she cries for her mum. Her mum can't hear her. Nobody can. 16th of February, 1964. Glasgow. The train was freezing, but he didn't care. The 6:15 to King's Cross. He was really going. Tom had brought a bag of cans with him, handed them out as they left Central. They were drinking them now. Him, Scott, Barry and Jamie. All of them feet up on the seats, full of chips, smoking away, telling jokes. Pretending they weren't nervous.